The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Radio Memories Network is brought to you in part by Liberated Syndication, podcast publishing made easy, libsyn.com. That's libsyn.com.
Continuing America's love affair with comedy and those lovable characters that made us laugh. We now go back to the early days of radio comedy and our imaginations with our featured comedy presentation.
The Comedy Kingdom was among the earliest form of radio comedy and variety programs. Originally titled the Blue Monday Jamboree, it was first heard on air in the late 1930s on CBS Radio, with singer Elvia Allman as the host. Her longtime good friend Lindsay McHerry, on the other hand, was the director and producer. The show, which had a total of 39 15-minute episodes, featured comedy skits, musical performances, drama, and a whole lot more. Now let's join this week's rare episode of the Comedy Kingdom.
Hail to the Comedy Kingdom!
Hail to the Comedy Kingdom! Hail to this realm of mine! Here's to our queen, may she live in clover. Here's to her subjects, when we laugh, we'll overthrow. Away your troubles, cast aside your blues. Just where we smile, you will find it's all the style. In the Comedy Kingdom, hail!
Queen of Earth. Long laugh, Queen Elvia.
Hello, you happy Benedicts and you merry wives. A royal welcome to the Comedy Kingdom. That's right. We are dedicating this session of the court audience to that great institution, marriage. The greatest state of any union anywhere. The universal tradition which gave rise to those famous last
Now for
words.
This week's episode of the Halls of Ivy.
We've just received word that our ambassador to Weddingtown on the Debt has returned to the Comedy Kingdom. He's here in the audience room now, and we, the Queen, are about to receive his report. Ambassador Alcahall. I never saw him look so sad. Why, Al, what's the matter?
This is my wedding anniversary.
Oh, well, then you ought to be happy.
Yes, I ought to be happy. In fact, I am happy.
Oh. Tell me, how long have you been married?
Oh, 30 years, and to the grandest little woman in the world. Would you believe it? We only had one fight in our married life.
Why, Al, that's grand.
Yes, one fight. The same one for 30 years.
Do you mean to say for 30 years you fought in your house?
We never fight in the house. We go out the backyard. There's more room. But I'm not regretting my married life. Do you know if I had to do it over again?
Yes?
I wouldn't do it.
Oh. What seems to be the real trouble with your wife?
Well, every time I come home, she says, give me a dollar, give me a dollar.
Oh, what does she do with all that money?
I don't know. I haven't given her any yet.
Tell me, Al, did you court your wife long?
Oh, not very long. About 15 years.
15 years? That's a long time.
Well, in those days, we took our time. You know the old adage, marry in haste and repent with pleasure.
You mean repent at leisure.
I know what I mean. Pleasure.
Oh, they must have been beautiful courtships in those days.
Beautiful is no name for it. When you went to meet your girl, you put on your Sunday suit, a white shirt, celluloid collar, and Windsor tie. Then you bought a box of her favorite candy, gumdrops. You knocked at her door.
You mean knock, knock?
No, just a good old-fashioned knock. Her mother met you at the door, and she would say, hello, Al. And you would say, hello, mother. Mm-hmm. Then you walked into the parlor, and there was Susie sitting on one end of the big settee. Then you sat on the other end of the settee. Then you looked at her, and she looked at you like a dying duck in a hailstorm. And there in the center was the old grandfather's clock ticking away the time. And it seemed to say, take your time. Take your time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But now when you go to meet your girl, you put on a pair of slacks, a sport shirt, you hop in your car. Her mother meets you at the door. You yell, hello, how's the old gal? You walk into the living room. There's Susie, dressed in shorts, smoking a cigarette. You both sit in one chair, and there's a little alarm clock on the mantel be saying, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up.
Oh, you're in hot. And now, by our special television leased wire, we're going to have the privilege of watching a tender little love scene. In front of a vine-covered cottage, there's a little white gate. Inside the gate stands a winsome miss. Adoration lights her lovely eyes as she looks into the proud face of her sweetheart. Tenderly, he looks down at her and says softly,
all right, Tootsie, you ready to scram?
Oh, I don't know, Bertram. I don't know if we should elope or not.
Oh, why not? Why not?
I'm afraid Papa is going to be completely unsung.
Oh, that's all right. We'll wire him right away.
There's a girl in the garden. There's a boy at the gate. The boy at the gate wants to get inside, but the girl in the garden won't open up the gate, so the boy at the gate's gotta wait.
A girl in the garden went to pick pretty flowers,
the boy at the gate waited hours and hours,
but the girl in the garden wouldn't open up the gate, so the boy at the gate had to wait.
A little bluebird came and whispered, now that's a downright shame. He loves you so, my dear.
The girl in the garden finally got to the gate. The boy at the gate took the gate, didn't wait.
Now the boy is sighing and the girl is crying. She got to the gate too late. I'm the girl in the garden.
I'm the boy at the gate. The boy at the gate wants to get inside.
Well, that's just too bad. Open up the gate.
Well, you might change your mind, I'll wait.
Go away, can't you see that I'm busy picking flowers?
Oh, that's all right, I can wait 4 hours.
Well, if you remain, you'll be caught in the rain.
Very well, my little wren, I'll wait. I love you more and more. Please say you'll be my bride.
Why didn't you mention that before?
The moon rides high. He kisses the girl, you can hear her sigh. Who do you suppose is standing by?
Cupid with a twinkle in his eye.
No man in the comedy kingdom who knows more about marriage than Maury Amsterdam.
Yep, and well, here I am, you lucky people. What a pleasure to have me on this program. Well, who's the most popular man here and why am I?
Maury, of course you know our program is all about marriage. Are you married?
Nope, never been married. This is Maury Amsterdam, the voice of inexperience. Yeah, they tell me marriage is a wonderful institution. Well, who wants to live in an institution? Like an old married friend of mine said the other day, a man never really knows what real happiness is till he gets married. Then it's too late. And for you unmarried... You unmarried folks, just to give you a rough idea of what goes on about a year after the ceremony, I bring you for the first time over any radio station a blow-by-blow account of a day with an average married couple. It is sponsored by the Black Eye Beefsteak Company. All right, let's tune in on the Family Battle of the Week. Hello, everybody. This is your announcer, Graham McAmsterdam, broadcasting from the home of Mr. and Mrs. Jones of Hollywood. We're in the Jones living room right now and waiting for the daily battle to start. There's nothing going on right now. There goes the bell. It's the front doorbell. Mr. Jones, you just got home from work. Well, the fight's about to start. Mrs. Jones takes the offensive and leads off with a cutting remark. Where's your key, you dope? Mr. Jones retaliates with a terrific comeback. I forgot it. Well, we're out in the center of the parlor now. Mrs. Jones just made a grab for his pay envelope, but it's a haymaker and goes wild. Mr. Jones is too fast. He ducks, at the same time remarking, I don't get paid till tomorrow. Well, there's another lull right now. They're sparring around for a few nasty remarks. Mrs. Jones is back in her corner in the kitchen now. Mr. Jones opens the second round by throwing his top coat and hat on the sofa. Mrs. Jones rushes in with, can't you hang up your clothes, you beast? I've been fighting like a dog all day to keep this house clean. You don't appreciate it. And after I've given you the best years of my life, I'm going right home to mother. Mr. Jones comes back and scores an uppercut with, go on, go back to your mother. If you do, I'll be able to play solitaire without a kibitzer. Well, there's nothing going on right now. It looks like Mr. Jones is weakening. He feels groggy, remorse. He's a softy. He says, I'm sorry, dear. You know I love you and I didn't mean it. She comes back with, I'm sorry, too. They're in a clinch now. They've got their arms around each other. They embrace. They kiss. Whoopee! What a fight. Well, let that be a lesson for you.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello yourself. It's Mabel Todd again. Well, Mabel, we've just been talking about marriage. What do you know about it?
Well, I ain't spliced, but some gink proposed to me just yesterday. He happened he was some feller never seen before in all born day.
That's odd. How did it happen?
Well, I walked into the theater, and he was wearing a little blue uniform, and he rushes right up to me and says, Madam, can I lead you down the aisle? Just like that.
Down the aisle? Why, Mabel, that was probably one of the ushers.
I don't care. I don't care what business he's in. I won't marry him. He ain't my type.
I guess the man you marry will have to be a go-getter.
Nope, he'll have to be an already gotter.
Well, in other words, I'm not your type. You see, I haven't any money.
No money?
No money.
Well, then you ain't the kind of a guy for a gal like me, then.
Which is the title of Mabel's song. Gosh, this dialogue is clever.
You say you're falling in love with me. That's why I sit here and cry. For that is something that never can be. And here's the reason.
You're not the kind of a boy for a girl. to let you know, but it's only because I know that you're not the kind of a boy for a girl.
So glad you could be with us again in the Comedy Kingdom. Come over again soon, won't you? In the meantime, remember, it's never unlucky to postpone a wedding if you keep on postponing it long enough.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.